With BookBeat, I'm Don Swaim. The writer Frank Rose thinks the story of Apple Computer has all the drama a reader could want.
Apple is the place where the technology of the 80s and the social concerns of the 60s really came together.
In his book, West of Eden, Frank Rose tells of Steve Jobs and Steve Wozniak, two college dropouts who invented a computer in a garage and became millionaires.
It was really the first computer that was small enough to put on a desk or on a kitchen table or something like that. Before then, computers had been room-sized behemoths that intimidated people.
Wozniak took the basic components of a computer and put them into a box.
Jobs' genius was to take this very rudimentary product, which had wires sticking out of it and didn't have a case, and package it in such a way that ordinary people would want to buy one.
IBM watched computer pioneer Apple closely and moved into the field, capturing the business market.
IBM was a much more reasonable-sounding choice for corporate America because it was something they were familiar with. Those three letters seemed carved in stone.
But Apple struck back with its revolutionary Macintosh computer, and that led Steve Jobs to hire Pepsi executive John Sculley to run Apple in a more professional way.
Jobs, the charismatic, visionary, rebellious young entrepreneur, and Sculley, the card-carrying member of the Eastern corporate establishment,
who forced Steve Jobs out of the company he founded in a dramatic coup. The story is told in West of Eden, The End of Innocence at Apple Computer by Frank Rose, published by Viking. With BookBeat, I'm Don Swaim. Computers were big, room-sized, before Apple came along with its small desktop computers. The story of Apple and the fall of its co-founder, Steve Jobs, is told by Frank Rose in his book, West of Eden. Rose says that Jobs' vision led to the development of the Macintosh, which abandoned the traditional way of using the computer keyboard to enter often complicated control codes.
Macintosh, by comparison, was completely intuitive. It showed little pictures on the screen.
And by pointing with a mouse, the user could open files and create documents. As the Macintosh caught on, Steve Jobs hired John Sculley, an executive at Pepsi, to give Apple the corporate image it badly needed.
Steve and John were like brothers. They finished each other's sentences. They talked on the phone late into the night. And then things began to go sour.
Jobs and Sculley clashed over the direction of the Macintosh.
As the pressure built on him, he turned against Sculley, and Sculley turned against him, and all those late-night phone calls didn't help.
Steve Jobs tried to stage a coup against Sculley. Instead, Jobs was forced out of the company he had founded. Sculley went on to challenge IBM head-on with the Mac, and fortunately for Apple, IBM stumbled.
When IBM introduced a computer that was incompatible with their earlier models and made many of the same mistakes Apple had made, Apple was able to capitalize on that. At the same time, John himself concentrated on projecting an image of Apple that was much more sober and serious and businesslike.
Frank Rose writes of the power struggle at Apple in West of Eden, The End of Innocence at Apple Computer, published by Viking. With BookBeat, I'm Don Swaim.